listening to Shop Talk with your host, Kevin Tates. Brought to you by Eastwood Tools. Everything you need to do the job right.
Hey guys, thanks for listening to Shop Talk. I'm Kevin Tates, and we're brought to you by Eastwood. Before we get started on our interview with Nick Licata, I wanted to make sure that you guys know about the Improve Your Skills giveaway brought to you by Shop Talk. It runs from May 2nd through July 4th, 2014. You can enter online at eastwood.com or send in your entry by mail. Promo code is Do The Job Right, all capital letters, so you have to capitalize to get the promo code correctly. Contest rules and instructions can be found at eastwood.com, and the prize is an 18-volt four-tool combo kit with a circular saw, flashlight, drill, and a reciprocating saw that anybody would be lucky to have in their toolbox. It's never been easier to do the job right with Eastwood. But now, check out what Nick Licata from Camaro Performers has to say about the hobby, the industry, magazines, and getting your car into Camaro Performers or any other magazine. Check it out. Hey, you're listening to Shop Talk. I'm your host, Kevin Tates, and we are brought to you by the Eastwood Company. Do the job right with Eastwood. Well, we've got a guy with one of those dream jobs on the other end of the line here. You know, there's all these dream jobs, and the grass is always greener on the other side. So we wanted to talk to Nick Licata from Camaro Performers Magazine, the editor for that particular magazine. Nick, how are you, man?
Good, Kevin. How are you?
I'm doing good. You know, I complain about aches and pains and the cost of bread rising, but, you know, who cares? It's happening with everybody.
Yeah, it won't do any good.
No, it won't do any good. But you know what? The fact is that you and I both have pretty good gigs. So I want to start off asking you about Camaro Performance. How long have you been the editor there?
Well, I got this plaque in my office that says I've been here for 10 years, and the plaque is about 2 years old. So... I've been here for over 10 years, 11, going on 12 years, and I've been editor at Camaro Performers since 2007. My first issue was the July issue of 2007, so here we are in 2014, and, man, that time just flew right by.
Isn't it interesting how that does? You know, obviously you really dig your job. Is that a true statement?
It is, and like you said, it is a dream job. I think more so from the outside looking in, there's a lot of you know, administrative stuff you got to do and deal with. But for the most part, you know, we're dealing with, you know, the coolest cars on the planet, basically.
Yeah, no doubt. And I've just kind of dove into the realm of Camaro. So I'm stoked to be working with you on some level on that and educating myself into the world of the F-body. And we'll talk about that a little bit later. But I wanted to ask you also, what's your background for cars? Are you a dyed-in-the-wool, born into it car guy, or did you learn this as a hobby growing up? How did it happen for you?
Well, I lived in Pomona, and I lived right across the street from Pomona Dragway, where the Winter Nationals and the World Finals were. And as a kid growing up, we would always ride our bikes over there and just, you know, go to the drags. And since, you know, I was old enough to cross the street, you know, I've been going to the drags, and I just always got into cars. And through the 80s and early 90s, I played in a rock band, and that gig fell through after a while, and I realized I had to grow up and do something, so I took photography classes. And, you know, 17 years playing bass guitar, and, you know, it didn't get me nothing but a heartache and a bad balanced credit card, but that's a different story. But, you know, yeah, just going to the races and being around cars, and I was, you know, getting into photography, and it just kind of one thing led to another. I was working for Source. It was Prime Media at the time, and I was freelancing doing photography for Popular Hot Rodding and a bunch of other magazines. And they hired me on full time and just kind of morphed into Camaro Performers.
Very cool. Very cool. Well, that's kind of an interesting story. As you know, I did a rock and roll tenure as well and spent nearly starved to death. And
right.
And I was the front man. You were the bass player. And, we both had to cohabitate with those guys that called themselves musicians that were actually drummers. But that's a whole other story.
But you know what? I wouldn't change it for the world. I mean, you know, that was like 17 years of just, you know, going to the school of hard knocks and getting turned down and told you're great and then told no. And it kind of made getting a real job pretty easy because, you know, it was, I don't know, it was just so hard, you know, playing in music that
well, you know,
a real job was just like a piece of cake after that.
Well, kind of, yeah, and I've been around a lot of TV guys that you know, I mean, the internet is anonymous. People can be cruel as heck, and you know, you put yourself out there for somebody to criticize, and that's just the way the world is. And if you don't have a thick skin, you can take it really personally, and it can hurt your feelings, and wah wah wah, all that kind of stuff. Oh, well, yeah. I always tell people that rock and roll beat the ego out of me completely. So the next thing that I walked into, I was completely humble, and there's nothing could faze me. The worst thing you can do is call me an idiot or tell me I don't know what I'm doing. Well, I know that I do, so whatever, that's your problem. But so to me, it was not wasted time. I had brief moments of thinking to myself, geez, I wish I could have put that, you know, 10 or 12 years into something else, and all the energy that I expended on rock and roll and trying to get signed and trying to write songs. The truth is, it was fantastic boot camp for whatever comes next. In my case, TV. In your case, magazines and the print world. So, you know, there's no wasted time. It's all good life lessons, right?
No, and you develop the thickest skin. I mean, like you said, anybody can say anything, and it's like, it doesn't bother me. I've heard worse, and, you know, you just try to put out the best product you can as far as a magazine goes, and, you know, a lot of people are going to like it, and there's going to be some people that don't. But the deal is, you hear from the minor majority. I mean, I call them the loud minority. You know, when you're doing something good, people don't really say anything. But when you do something bad, oh man, they let you hear about it.
Yeah. And now we've got social media reminding us of that every 10 seconds. So
I know, right? But, you know, it keeps us in check too. It keeps us in check too. So we got to pay attention to what we're doing.
It does. It keeps you honest. You know, when Ryan and I would dive into a new project on the truck show, we would join the forum of the particular vehicle that we're in. For instance, full-size Broncos. And you know, we would go on there before we were members. So it's free sign-up and all that kind of stuff. But we hear people dogging the crap out of us and where's Stacy David and, you know, what are these clowns up to and this and that. And then you get in there and you say, hey, this is Ryan and Kevin from Trucks. We want to build a 79 Bronco full-size thing. You guys tell us what's the best thing to do. So you open yourself up, you set yourself up with a big target on your back. And so to me, that's the best way to approach that. And it really, really worked well for us. Regardless, there's good and bad things about social media and about this instant feedback that we have. And that leads to my next question. How is the print world responding to the internet? How are you guys adapting to the instance of social media, the availability of video and pictures on a second-by-second basis? How are you evolving?
Well, the magazine basically doesn't really evolve. It's doing what it's doing, and it's pretty much staying strong right now. But what we have done is we paid attention to social media, and we paid attention to our websites. I mean, we have over 1.7 million followers on Facebook, and that is incredible to me. For a little magazine called Camaro Performers to have that many Facebook followers is just unbelievable. And what we've done is we've utilized that to get people to buy the magazine and go to the website. So let's say the new issue comes out. Well, I post the new issue on Facebook saying, hey, everybody, the new issue's out on the newsstand. Pick it up now. Boom. We get all kinds of feedback. You know, some of it's negative, of course, but most of it's positive. And then what that does is that translates to magazine sales, or that translates to people going to the website. So we've incorporated all the social media to work with us and not against us. And I think we're having huge success.
I think that's a fantastic way to look at it, because you can say, oh my, you know, we want to go back to the past when we had a bigger ad budget and freelance budgets and all this kind of stuff. Because, you know, I've been writing freelance for magazines for about 12 years now, it's a changing world. And you know, some people are really afraid that it's going to go away forever. I don't know, man. Maybe I'm an eternal optimist. And I was talking with Robert McGaffin about this as well. Mm-hmm. I don't think print magazines are going to go away. I just think it's going to change and have little add-ons and you know, different ways for people to access that the information and the editorial great stuff that's available on a magazine. I love a print magazine. I love to flip the pages. That's just the age that I am. But for the people that are coming up around us, would you say that the print part is going to be maybe 30%, 50%, 75% of the tangible asset that a magazine is, and the rest is social media and digital?
Well, you know, it's hard to say, but, you know, the way I pointed out to somebody the other day, I said, hey, you know what's funny is albums are making a comeback. You know, and if you think about that, it's like, well, magazines might be that next thing. You know, people, we've all been on the internet. We've all been, you know, looking at articles on online, and they're so hard to read. You know, you don't really spend that much time in front of the computer. So when you have time to sit down, and like you said, pull up a hard copy of a magazine and sit down and read it at your leisure. You know, your eyes don't burn because you're looking into a bright screen. You can, you know, mark your page and come back to it. It's just, the magazine just seems like it's such a great vehicle for the stuff that we do, you know, and I'm optimist like you. I grew up with magazines. I have two young boys, and, you know, they read magazines. I don't really see them online reading articles, but I do catch them with Skateboarder magazine or, you know, of course, I force Camaro performers down their throat.
Of course, you do.
But, you know, I think it's just kind of I think we're at a point where there's no real certainty right now, and I think we're kind of in a limbo zone. One of the things we were talking about, Facebook, one time I posted the question on our Facebook page, how many people know that Camaro Performers is actually a magazine? And it was pretty eye-opening that a lot of people didn't realize that. They just thought we were a Facebook site or, you know, a website. And but like I said, a lot of that now is translating to higher subscription numbers and bigger newsstand numbers.
Yeah.
But, well, you know, it's up to us. It's up to us as a company is how we want to continue doing it. I'm just kind of, you know, driving this Camaro train and seeing how far I can take it.
Excellent, excellent. Well, to that point that you just made, my local newsstand is at a grocery store, and sometimes I can get Camaro Performers. Sometimes I can't, so I had to go to a Barnes & Noble and go to do their giant thing to, you know, because I did subscribe. I want you to know that. I believe in that. I believe in supporting it, and I had a hard time finding the current issue until I went to a Barnes & Noble, and I've got it now, so that's going to keep me up to speed until my subscription kicks in and I start getting them on my mailbox. But, you know, other ways for people to read Camaro Performers, let's talk to our listeners specifically, guys that are Camaros or guys that love all makes and models of cars, but particularly dig Camaros. How do our listeners on Shop Talk get access to the information that you guys are creating?
Well, everything is on CamaroPerformers.com. Basically, you know, the magazine comes out, and as soon as the magazine comes out, we start trickling that information onto our website. So you can, yeah, pick it up on our website. But as far as the hard copy magazine, like you said, Barnes & Nobles, some Targets, some Walmarts. And like I tell people, if you got a local newsstand, you know, go to the manager and say, hey, I want Camaro Performers, you know. The more, you know, more times they hear that, they can carry it. So, But yeah, and everything goes through our Facebook page too. Well, you know, we'll put a link on our Facebook page, you know, on a car feature, on a tech article. Everything's available on CamaroPerformers.com. And we also have the Zinio version. I think there's the Apple version. So you can get it digitally as well.
Yeah. So. Neat stuff. Well, and also to that point, when this interview becomes available, of course you will get links from me and from the Eastwood Company, and hopefully you can blast that on your Facebook page and turn a whole bunch of people onto Shop Talk, and it becomes a win-win for everybody, right?
Absolutely, absolutely. And like I said, we're just blowing up on Facebook, and I can't believe it. I mean, 1.7 million followers, and, you know, by
that's
next
amazing.
Week we could be at 1.8. It's just growing every day, and it's exciting.
That's fantastic. So what kind of stuff do you put on Facebook? Because there's some Facebook pages that I won't mention the name of that I won't even look at because all they post is car crashes, police arrests, this guy drove his car into the swimming pool, that guy drove his SUV into the convenience store.
Yeah.
It's all blood and guts and head turning. It's stupid stuff. I don't like it. So I won't go to that website, even though it's heavily followed, because everybody likes a train wreck.
Right.
What do you guys put on Facebook?
Well, I agree with you on that. I don't look at stuff like that, and I don't, you know, I don't promote that kind of thing. And, you know, you see a lot of websites like, you know, hey, check out this drag car crash into the wall. It's like, you know, we've seen that over and over again. And, you know, we just put on, you know, we have the best photographers. You mentioned Robert McGaffin. He's one of the best photographers there is, and I use him a lot as much as I can. We make these cars look as most, you know, the most beautiful as they can. In the right light, with the right photographer, these cars look amazing. I mean, the Camaro is already a beautiful car to me. I mean, from the first generation all the way up to the fifth generation. I mean, Camaros are, you know, and everybody has their favorite. But what we do is we kind of try to showcase each generation within, it's hard to get each generation in each magazine, but throughout time, we'll cover every, you know, generation of Camaro we can. And from there, we put the tech articles. You know, Camaro Performers is a mix of great car features and tech articles, and then sometimes there's some event coverage. There's a lot of cool events out there. We cover that, and we put all that stuff on our website, and it all goes through Facebook at one time or another. So, you know, you'll find basically there's, you know, three ways to see Camara performers, you know, online, in the magazine, through Facebook, what have you.
Right, right. Very cool. Very cool. Well, I look forward to catching up with you on Facebook. I've glanced at it. You and I are Facebook friends, blah, blah, blah,
yep,
whatever.
Yep.
But I want to get on there and see some more of the content that you guys are throwing up there. And I said throwing up. But another question I wanted to ask you is I get accused all the time of just being a truck guy just because of the TV stuff that I've been involved with. But the truth is, when I auditioned for RTM Productions, I auditioned for the Muscle Car Show, and I got the gig. Except for the fact that I was on a previous another network, on the DIY network, and the attorneys were racking up their fees, and I wasn't released from my contract in time to get the Muscle Car gig, and they hired Jared Zimmerman. And so in the meantime, there was an opening on the truck show because Stacy David had moved on with his career, and they offered me that gig. So I said, sure, let's do trucks because, you know, trucks are cool. It's front engine, rear-wheel drive. It's a muscle car, except for you can throw stuff in the back. So I thought, why not? Let's do trucks. For you, Camaro performers, are you a Mustang hater, or is Camaro your mark, or are you the same guy? Are you an equal opportunity car lover?
Well, I'm an equal opportunity car lover, and, you know, there's a lot of people that around here kind of chuckled because before I got the gig at Camaro Performers, now everybody just calm down. I used to own a Ford. I had a 1963 Galaxy, and it was all hot rodded out and customed out, and then my wife had a 64 Ford Falcon, which, in fact, we still have. So, you know, don't be haters, all you Chevy people. But, yeah, I started out with you know, Fords. But I had a 1967 Camaro back in 92, 93.
Right.
So I've been, you know, all over muscle cars. I mean, I love them all. Anything with a V8 and loud exhaust and a bunch of horsepower, and I'm in. But, and I'm fortunate to have gotten this gig at Camaro Performance. I've learned so much over the past 7 years about Camaros and the Camaro people especially. These people are hardcore, you know, and I respect that. And I got to say, over the past 7 years, I've kind of turned into one of those guys. So I've been converted a little bit. So, yeah, I'm a Camaro
guy. Well,
you can't help. You can't. I mean, I got a 71 Camaro that we're working on. I have a 2001 Camaro that makes just a crap load of horsepower, and it's just a bunch of fun. I mean, for those that know Camaro performers, they know I take this car to the LS Fest every year. I've been to the Optima Challenge twice, in once in a Camaro and once in a 40 Ford, believe it or not.
Cool.
That's a different story. I actually got that gig through Street Rodder Magazine, one of our sister publications, and they needed a driver. And, of course, I take my helmet and fire suit with me to SEMA, so there you go.
Yes, yes.
You never know when somebody's going to ask you to drive, right? So you got to be ready.
So, no doubt.
To answer your question, Nick, I'm about all muscle cars, but I am now truly a diehard Camaro guy.
Excellent. And for people that have just kind of kicked in, we're talking with Nick Licata from Camaro Performers Magazine, a dyed-in-the-wool car guy, and he's one of us, people. He's one of us. So it's cool to hear that that you love it all. And to me, the most important thing is to get the information out there. That's where I have focused on you know, my paint education company and the how-to TV shows and the tech articles. To me, that's the important thing, is to take what we do and what we love, what we grew up loving, and pass it on to people that are coming up into it. Let's face it, you and I are not getting any younger. That just doesn't happen.
Yeah.
And we are charged with bringing this information to the next generation of hot rodders. And, you know, it's a wonderful time to be a car guy. It's never been safer. It's never been more publicly accepted. And it's never been easier to build these cars with the automotive aftermarket support. So, you know,
absolutely,
hats off to you for carrying the torch, man. And I just think it's a wonderful time to be in the hobby that we're in.
It really is. And, you know, like you mentioned, the aftermarket, there was just so many parts for classic cars, you know, for early Camaros and even now late model Camaros. There's just so much stuff out there. And, you know, thankful to these companies for helping us make our cars turn faster, you know, brake quicker, go faster. I mean, horsepower is so cheap now compared to what it used to be. I mean, 10 years ago, if you were making, you know, 400 horsepower, that was just insane. You know, 400 horsepower of the tires on a street car. Now it's basically commonplace.
Well, you can step in a GT Mustang or a Camaro, never mind the Supersport or the Z28s.
Sure.
You can step in a factory, just a V8 car, and you can click off 13-second quarters. That's freaking amazing. That used to be a built-up, like a 440B body Super B with lightweight stuff in it. I mean, it's crazy what kind of power is available from the factory. And they're figuring out efficiency, volumetric efficiency in fuel, efficiency in variable valve timing. All these things are coming in. Computers are controlling. It's awesome what is at our fingertips right now. And the ability to put these new components and retrofit them back into our classic cars, what a great thing to be able to do. So I think is only going to continue. Despite the EPA and despite government regulations, car guys will find a way. What do you think?
Yeah, absolutely. And like you said, you know, with the LS engine and all that kind of stuff we have going on right now, you can make a bunch of horsepower and get good gas mileage and be, you know, somewhat environmentally friendly. I mean, compared to the way it was back in the late 70s. I mean, like you said, to make, you know, a bunch of horsepower, you had to have this, that, and that, and you couldn't drive that car on the streets. Well, now you have that same horsepower. And in fact, you know, the big three, GM, Ford, and Mopar, they're giving us this horsepower. You know, you can buy it right off the showroom floor, and you can put a supercharger on it and add 100 more horsepower to that. So
yeah.
How cool is that?
It's way cool. And you touched on something that I want to talk about, even if we just spend a little bit of time on it. But environmentally friendly, these cars with multi-speed transmissions, both automatic and standard, are getting better fuel economy by triple digits, or by three times than the original muscle cars were. The muscle cars got a bad rap of getting 6-7 miles per gallon out of a 454 and an early first-gen Camaro.
Yep.
Now it's not the case, man. You've got a 6-speed automatic transmission behind that Camaro engine getting you 22 miles per gallon on the highway, and you don't have to be easy on it. So there's something that needs to be shouted from the rooftops, and maybe you and I can work on this on social media, but there's such a thing as carbon equity. I heard David Freiberger say that, and it's carbon equity. We are recyclers. We are environmentally friendly. We are taking the place of a brand new vehicle being produced at a factory, creating smog pollution, whatever your theories are on carbon dioxide. I have my own. I won't talk about that now. But we are taking the place by reviving an older vehicle, by restoring a vehicle. Not only are we perpetuating a hobby and a skilled trade, we are taking the place of a newly produced vehicle by keeping ours on the road. We are, by God, we are environmentally friendly and part of the future and part of the solution. What do you say to that?
I mean, absolutely. I mean, you take like a 1980 something, let's just say a third generation Camaro, and you know, the smog standards were just so high compared to the way they are now. I mean, now you can take an LS engine and put it in an old car, like, you know, a mid 80s car, and in California it's illegal to do that. You can't take an LS engine and do that without— well, I take that back. You can with the E-Rod motor, but it has yet to be smogged. I don't think anybody's ever done it. I think Freiberger tried it with his 78 Camaro and never got through with it. But with the engine that it has in it now, it's 100 times more efficient than what it was originally. But the government doesn't recognize that. They don't understand what we're doing here, and they need to step back and check themselves and just say, hey, look what these guys are doing. They're making this car 10, 15, 20 times more efficient than it was. And, you know, they're not recognizing that. But like you said, we are doing what it takes to make these cars more efficient and, you know, less pollution. And just the stuff we're doing is they just look at us as hot rodders and they just think we're trying to pull one over on. But we're actually not. We're actually making it, you know, a cleaner running vehicle.
Absolutely. And like I said, the important thing also is that we're educating people on how to do these things themselves. And,
absolutely.
You know, my career in the automotive field came from the necessity to fix my own cars because I couldn't afford to buy them. You know, I have a skilled trades job. If all this TV and radio stuff went away, I'd go back to work slinging a paint gun in a body shop because I know how to do that. And I won't ever forget how to do that. So this is arguably an offshoot of it is creating a skilled trade for people that can step into a job that may even have to be filled overseas. So, you know, to me, it's twofold. Not to get all serious and stuff, but, you know, at the end of the day, we're talking about high-performance cars, but there's some seriousness to it. And, you know, the deficit of skilled trades workers in this country is another serious issue that that needs to be addressed. You know, sure, there's trade schools, sure, there's systems and ICAR and ASE and all that kind of stuff, but, you know, let's empower people. Let's get people back into the shops. And you can make a good living as a skilled trade technician, and, you know, arguably you don't even have to get your hands dirty anymore. But at the same time, let's make these jobs, let's create jobs at home by perpetuating what we're doing and people to step into those jobs and make a good living. There shouldn't be any shame in having a professional career on working on cars. That's just all I'm going to say. I'm off
my soapbox. Yeah, absolutely. I'm with you.
Well, listen, let me change subjects because my blood pressure is getting up there.
Yeah, you know, I was thinking about that. You were talking about, you know, you can go back to working in a shop and all that, but like you mentioned, we're getting a little bit older, so, you know, we just can't pick up the guitar again and get back on stage because I don't think we'd have much of a following. Besides, most of our following would be, you know, in their, well, let's just not say how old they would be, but they don't drink and party like they used to, so we probably wouldn't be much good for selling beer at a club.
Probably not.
Well, besides, our people have to get in bed by 9 or 10 o'clock. They're not used to staying up late, like, you know.
Exactly. Yeah, I don't know. I played in a band for a while. It was a one-night-a-month club gig in a club in East Nashville. Big fun. And, you know, 80s rock stuff. And it was way, way fun until Saturday morning. And then I realized, okay, I'm not 25. You know, it would take me half the day to recover. But
recovery time is a lot longer nowadays. I've tried it. I still remind myself, you know, it takes me about every month or so, I have to remind myself how old I am, and just I don't recover like I used to.
That's okay. Because as we get older and we survive it, we get smarter. How's that?
We do.
Let me ask you this. We were talking about Robert McGaffin, and Robert is a fantastic photographer. He took pictures of my jaded Mustang, and I'm forever grateful for him allowing me to look over his shoulder and learn from some of his techniques, and mad respect for the guy. But one of the things that we talked about when he was on Shop Talk is, and this is for listeners out there, how do we get our cars into magazines? And I wanted to ask you the same thing. What are, let's just say, three main points that you can talk to Shop Talk listeners about on how to get their cars into Camaro Performers?
The best way to do that, Kevin, is to take a picture of the exterior, take a picture of the engine, and take a picture of the interior. And try to use something a little bit better than an iPhone. You know, use an actual camera. And then you can email me those pictures at CamaroPerformers@SORC.com. And I will get those pictures. We'll review the pictures. And if it's something that we feel that your car is worthy of a feature, we'll get in touch with you and, you know, schedule a shoot to come out and shoot your car. Otherwise, sometimes it just might make it in the reader's rides. And a lot of readers are happy with getting their car in the reader's rides section. I mean, it's exciting to see your car in print.
Well, I remember the first time that happened with me. I had an old Ranchero, and Wayne Cook, I don't know if you remember Wayne, but he put it in the reader's rides at Modified Mustangs and Fords. It was a thrill, man. It was huge because my car was in a magazine. And what I like, one of the things I like about Camaro Performers is that you guys do have several sections where it's not just this little thumbnail photo. It's a decent-sized photo and a cool little write-up about the car. So you know, even if it's not a full feature, it's still a way to get your car into print. So that's very cool.
And that and if picture cars in Reader's Rides, it doesn't mean that it will only be in Reader's Rides. There's a point in time where we could go, hey, remember that car we ran in Reader's Rides? Let's do a full feature on that car. It's that nice. So don't think just because it's in Reader's Rides, it's only a Reader's Rides car. We could potentially feature it later on.
What about photography tips? And I will start off with this one. People listening, keep the sun at your back. Or if it's a light, keep the light behind you. Don't cast a shadow, but the sun at your back. Okay, now you give one out. What's the next tip?
That's probably the best tip. And, you know, a lot of, and like I said, try to park it out in the open where there's, you know, not many distractions going on with other parked cars or people walking by in the background. You know, take some time, you know,
there's
got to be a street down by you, a location that looks decent, and it'll make your car look that much better. And just show the editors at the magazine, whichever magazine you send it to, that you're putting some effort into it and that you really want your car in the magazine.
What are some of the events that Camaro Performers covers? Where are you guys going to be at?
Well, we're going to be at the Holly LS Fest for sure. We go to that every year. I think it's going on its fifth or sixth year now, and that event is just amazing. It's so great. You can find us at one or two of the, maybe three, of the Ultimate Streetcar Invitationals. will be, there's one at Fontana coming up. We're going to be at that. We go to a couple of the NMCA drag events. There's one in Indy. We go to the finals at Indy. That's always a great one. With Chimera Performers, we don't really pigeonhole ourselves into one particular form of the hobby. We do drag racing. We do, you know, the road course events. We do the autocross and just car shows too once in a while. But, you know, basically the beauty of Chimera Performers is we cover everything from pro touring to pro street to restored cars. It's just a good mix. So we're out pretty much a couple times during the summer going to a number of these events. And it's just a blast.
Very cool. That's good to know, and I'm sure people listening will appreciate that. Let's talk about pro touring for a second. As you know, and for people listening, we're kicking off a real cool build. I'm building the car kind of in conjunction with the Eastwood Company with our Hands on Cars show. Yeah, but it's a 78 Z28 Camaro. And, you know, arguably, they made hundreds of thousands of them, and there's a lot of them around there, and they can be bought inexpensively. So the whole pro touring thing can get out of hand real quick. You start adding up receipts. Sometimes you can get well into, you know, six figures as far as the parts bill goes. Let me ask you particularly about the future of pro touring, and has it jumped the shark, or are there a whole bunch of guys that are realizing you don't have to spend all that money and spending a little more time on do-it-yourself stuff?
Well, I think, like you said, we could potentially jump the shark. We have a lot of guys that are building high-end cars that are just over the top that a lot of people might not have much in common with. But with that said, you can take a car, like you mentioned, your 78, and you can put bolt-on parts, and you can go out and have a blast with that car. You know, it doesn't have to be, you don't have to have top of the line stuff to have fun. And I'm not knocking that stuff, because I have a really super high end Camaro coming down the road here that should be done sometime in the summer. And it's got, you know, super high end stuff on it. It's going to be a badass car, no doubt. But there's a lot of guys out there that are just having a blast and having just as much fun as everybody else in a car with just bolt-on, you know, control arms and, you know, bigger sway bars and, you know, aftermarket shocks and bigger tires and wheels and having a good old time. You don't have to spend all that money. You know, start out, you know, small and work your way up. You know, if you find out you dig this hobby, go to the next step, you know, buy a complete subframe or, you know, a front clip and a, you know, a four link, whatever you need to do. You know, just work your way up, give it a shot and check it out. But you don't have to have all that super high end stuff to have a good time. It's basically, you know, the way I look at it.
Well, no, that's exactly right. And what came to mind when you were talking about that was the first time that I put a brand new set of BF Goodrich radial TAs on a car that I had just out of high school. It was a Ford Fairlane, a 68 Fairlane Tudor hardtop, and the difference that set of tires made on that car was unbelievable. You're talking about an upgrade with rubber. You know, you're not talking about a full frame chassis or a strut package or multi adjustable coilover shocks. A set of tires, people, makes an unbelievable difference. And then, like you said, you go to sway bar, urethane end links, urethane bushings on your subframe. All these little things, incremental things, don't have to cost a lot of money, but you can get a fantastic result out of those small upgrades. So I'm excited about showcasing some of that stuff with the Zed Sled project. And I just want to say out loud, thank you so much for embracing that and the idea of that and wanting to help out and give it a little bit of sunlight.
Well, I really appreciate you coming to me with that, because that is just a super cool project, because, you know, it is a 78, and a lot of times people think of the pro touring cars as, you know, the first generation Camaro and then the first 3 years of the second gen Camaro. Well, there's a lot of guys with these 78s and stuff, and the aftermarket is there for these cars. They have plenty of stuff for that car and to make that car go faster and quicker and a ton more fun. And I'm looking forward to being part of it.
Cool, man. Well, I just learned online through it's a forum called nastyz28.com. I'm sure you're familiar with those
guys. Absolutely.
But there was a build thread, lots of great information on these forums, and there's a build thread on there to where a guy's got an 11-inch rear wheel with it's a 315/35/17 on the back of this car without mini tubbing. holy cow, man, that's a huge rear tire. And you could fit a nice big brake package with that. That's a stock wheel opening. Fantastic. So guess what? You know, that's probably what I'm going to do because I don't know. You know, I've mini-tubbed my Mustang. It was a crazy amount of work. And I don't know. It sets off this chain of stuff that you have to do to follow it. And it changes to the drivetrain. Are you going to put a four-link in? Wonderful that you can do bolt-ons like that just through the correct backspacing and wheel selection and create a footprint like that. It's fantastic. These are great cars.
Yeah, and that, you know, that's the great thing about this hobby is, like, there's no set template. You don't just, you know, plug your car into a template and say this is the way it works. You can do whatever you want with these cars. You can put a 335 tire on there and tub it, or you can put, like you said, you know, a little smaller tire without mini tubbing it. But you know what? And it's all in, you know, in your budget and what you want to do with your car. And that's what makes this hobby so cool.
Well, I think the future of the Camaro is in good hands with you, Nick Licata. And thank you for what you do with Camaro Performers. Are there any people that have had a great influence on your life that you want to give a shout out to or mention? Any mentors or people that you've worked with over the years?
You know what? There's a lot. There's so many people, you know, that I would say, like, maybe silent mentors. Like, you know, I look at the guys like Mark Stilo, and who has done so much for this hobby, obviously a Camaro guy. And every car he builds, he keeps taking it to the next level. Kyle and Stacy Tucker have been huge influence on me with what they do with their cars and, you know, their driving and stuff like that. You know, one thing I didn't talk about is, you know, I've learned a lot about driving in the past 7 years. I've been to a couple driving schools, and one thing I do want to mention about Camaro Performers is we drive cars. We don't just sit here behind the desk and write about them. I mean, I've been to the Bondurant School. I've been to Skip Barber School. I've been to the Frank Holly Drag Racing School. So, I mean, and we get out here, and we've gone to a lot of the Run to the Coast events from the American Streetcar Series guys, and we drive the crap out of our cars, and we beat them up, and we break them, and we put them back together. And I think that's what translates with our magazine, is that we are hardcore car guys, and we, like I said, we drive them, beat the crap out of them, break them, and look, there's another tech article, because we just showed you how far we can take this car, and we found the limit. So maybe you won't make the same mistake we did. You know?
But isn't it fun to know that you can use your own two hands and get yourself out of that trouble? You know,
absolutely. Not me so much. I'm terrible at tech. Everybody laughs at me when they see a wrench in my hand. They're all like, "Oh, somebody go grab Nick before he hurts himself." But but I do wrench on my stuff, and that's kind of the running joke, is that, you know, I'm going to hurt myself with a box wrench or something, but let alone give me a welding torch.
Nothing ventured, nothing gained. You got to get in there. You got to get elbows deep and get dirty, and that's one of the cool things. And, you know, what I tell people is the difference between a painter and a paint gun owner is the ability to get yourself out of trouble, and that's really all we can strive for, isn't it?
Exactly.
Well, very cool. Well, Nick, I'm going to let you go. Thank you so much for taking time out of your day, and thank you for your help with Zed Sled, our 78 Camaro project, and also the great work that you're doing with the Eastwood Company. It's very much appreciated, and the exposure is nice. And, you know, all we want to do is lift people up and elevate them and show them not only that there are tools out there that are nice quality and affordably priced, but also how to use them. And that's why I'm so ingrained in the Eastwood Company now, and what you're doing in conjunction with it is fantastic work. So we all thank you.
Well, I appreciate you giving me a call and letting me take part in this. And then what I will ask you is, when I do come out to Tennessee, is you will show me how to use some of those tools, so people won't make fun of me anymore. I'll tell them, you know, hey, I learned from the best, so, you know, you guys can't make fun of me anymore. So, yeah, I'd love to come out and let's work on something and you know, get greasy and have a good old time.
Well, cool, man. Well, maybe we'll be taping an episode of Hands on Cars during LS Fest, and you can come down here to the shop, and we can get stupid.
Oh, that's a no-brainer. I am so in on that.
Cool deal. Well, listen, Nick, thank you so much. We're talking with Nick Licata from Camaro Performers Magazine. I will see you on the newsstand, my friend.
Absolutely. We'll be there.
You're listening to Shop Talk. I'm your host, Kevin Tates, and boy, what a great conversation with Nick from Camaro Performers. So just remember, get out there, get your hands dirty, and with the help of the Eastwood Company, do the job right.
Special thanks to Nick Licata for taking time out of his busy schedule and his magazine shenanigans to talk with us on Shop Talk. Pretty awesome guy, and I can't wait to see that car that he's building. Don't forget the Improve Your Skills giveaway brought to you by Eastwood Shop Talk that runs from May 2nd to July 4th. Win that 18-volt four-tool combo kit. I wish I had one, and I'm jealous of who wins. You can enter online or send in your entry by mail. Remember, the promo code is Do the Job Right, all capitals. For now, I'm signing off. I'm Kevin Tates. We're brought to you by Shop Talk and the Eastwood Company. Do the job right with Eastwood.